Ferry is the New York Times best-selling author of the Cotton Malone series, featuring, among other titles, The Jefferson Key, The Emperor's Tomb, and The Paris Vendetta. He also has several best-selling standalone thrillers, including The Columbus Affair, just published, which we'll discuss today. Steve has 14 million books in print, translated into 40 languages and sold in 51 countries. As with many of his colleagues, Steve's road to publishing was long and arduous, spanning 12 years and 85 rejections over 5 separate manuscripts. He trained as an attorney and is also an accomplished instructor, having taught writing to audiences across the globe. When Steve's not writing, you'll find him on the beach, a golf course, or traveling, discovering more things that have been lost. He lives in the historic city of St. Augustine. Steve and his wife, Elizabeth, have also started a foundation, History Matters, dedicated to aiding the preservation of our heritage. Welcome, Steve. Thanks for stopping by the Book Report.
Oh, glad to be here.
What inspired you to write a book in which Christopher Columbus had such an important role?
Well, he's just a fascinating character because we know absolutely nothing about this guy. I mean, we don't know where he was born, where he was raised, who his parents were, how he was educated, how he became an expert seaman. We don't know how he found his way to America. We don't know what he looked like. We don't know what happened when he got here because the Journal of Columbus is a copy of a copy. So we just know nothing about him. And so it was just fascinating to me that this man who changed human history, we know nothing about. And then I stumbled onto this great secret about him, an interesting aspect of his life that's been rarely explored, and that's what I used to form the basis of the novel.
Okay. Could you give just a sort of a elevator view of the story, and then we'll get more into it?
Yeah, it's a disgraced newspaper reporter named Tom Sagan is about to end his life. He's had enough. He's been disgraced, and just his whole life is ruined. And he's about to kill himself, and a man appears, and everything changes. Everything changes. He gets thrown into this great mystery that involves his family, his daughter, and takes it back 500 years and goes from Florida to Vienna to Prague and then ends up in the Blue Mountains of Jamaica. And we're dealing with an interesting mystery and an interesting secret with Christopher Columbus that still has great impact on today's political world.
Okay. As you said, your story covers a lot of ground. Did you actually visit all these places while writing the book?
Sure did. Been to Vienna a couple times, went to Prague and went to the Blue Mountains of Jamaica. Made those trips specifically for this book and to do the research on this book.
Well, you discovered that it was Sephardic Jews and not Ferdinand and Isabella who funded the Columbus's first voyage. Talk about that a bit.
Well, that's you know, there's documentation in historical papers that indicate all of this, that the traditional story that Isabella sold her family the jewels, the crown jewels, to pay for the voyage is simply not true. The Spanish monarchs had no money. They were broke. They'd just gotten off a war with the Muslims. They'd expelled the Muslims from the Iberian Peninsula. They were completely broke. And the chief advisor to Ferdinand was a converso, was a Jew that had converted into Christianity. And three other conversos put the money up to send him over there. And the question is, why? Why did they do that? What did they get out of it? What was the purpose of it? And there is an explanation for that.
Tell our listeners about Luis de Torres.
Interesting fella. He was on board Columbus's ships, 87 men. No priest, not a single priest, contrary to what Hollywood always shows you, not a priest. But there was a Hebrew translator on board, and it was de Torres. Question is, why did Columbus need a Hebrew translator? He thought he was sailing to Asia, to China, to India. Why did he need a Hebrew translator? Well, there's a reason why he thought he did that. And something very interesting, de Torres was probably the first man ashore that day. So the first words actually spoken in the New World could very well have been Hebrew.
Wow. Okay, so you kind of put the premise forward in the book that Christopher Columbus was a converso. Have you met a lot of controversy about that?
Well, the book hasn't come out yet.
Oh, there you go.
the book is just now coming out, and once it gets out there, and we'll see what kind of discussion that we get on this. This is not my theory. Simon Wiesenthal wrote a book called The Sails of Hope about 40 years ago in which he talks about this in great detail. I read that book, and the idea for the novel kind of sprang from reading Wiesenthal's book. His book is very persuasive. He has some interesting arguments and some very interesting proof to back up what he has. And there, since that time, there has been a lot more investigation into this possibility that Columbus could have been a converso. And if he was, in fact, that, then there's some very interesting things associated with it, and this is what the novel explores.
I love the mystery of the hooked X linked to Columbus's signature, but found in Minnesota?
Yeah,
Tell us about that.
Yeah, it really has nothing to do with Columbus whatsoever, but I came across this thing called the hooked X, which has been found etched into stones. And there's some discussion that this is an ancient marker left there by Vikings or ancient Hebrews or ancient people who came to the to America long before Columbus. Nobody really knows what the hooked X is. What I found fascinating, though, what absolutely stunned me, is that in Columbus's signature, there's a hooked X. And when you look at that, I couldn't believe that when I saw that. You look at Columbus's signature, and it's reproduced in the book. The signature of Columbus. He had a very unique signature, what he did. He didn't sign Christopher Columbus. He signed a very unique triangular signature. And there are two hooked X's in his signature. And when I saw that, I went, that's too cool. I got to use
it. It certainly makes it mysterious. Now, there were two kind of groups that you talked about in the book, the Maroons and the Taino.
Yeah.
Talk about them a bit.
Well, the Maroons are slaves brought to Jamaica who fought and won their freedom. They were the only slaves in the Western Hemisphere who actually did fight and successfully win their freedom. The Tainos were the natives. They were the native people there that Columbus found when he got there. Now, by 1650, about 150 years after he got there, they were pretty much wiped out. There weren't very many left. What was left ended up connecting with the Maroons, and they formed a society in central Jamaica, which is very similar to the Native American populations here in America. They have their own lands and their own government, their own little world in there. They still exist in Jamaica. I spent a couple of days down there with them. It is quite an amazing culture. When I learned more about them, I said, I've got to put them in the book. So they figure into the novel.
Well, tell us a little bit about History Matters.
That's the foundation Elizabeth and I, my wife and I, created to help raise money for historic preservation projects around the country. And we do it by putting on galas in communities, and we also do it by putting on writers' workshops. We go in and we teach a writer's workshop, about 4 to 4.5 hours of intensive teaching on the craft of writing. We deal with point of view, story structure, dialogue, the business of writing, do's and don'ts. It's a very intense course. And you buy your way in with a contribution, and all of that money ends up to the historic project that we're there to sponsor. We don't charge to come, and we don't charge any expenses. And we've done about 20 of these around the country. We've raised nearly $200,000 for various historical projects. And while we're on tour with this new book, we're going to be doing quite a few around the country, and those are all outlined at my website, steveberry.org. So if there's any writers out there and we're in your area, you ought to come and participate. It's a really good day.
And, okay, what's next for you? Now that you're on book tour, or you've already started on a new novel?
Oh, yeah. We're writing the next book. I'm writing Cotton Malone will come back next year. He just took 1 year off. He's coming back next year in an interesting story called The Tudor Deception. And it will be out next year, a year from now. I'm writing that now, finishing it up. And we're on book tour now until from now to about the middle of June.
All right. Okay, Steve, now the name of this current and fabulous book is?
The Columbus Affair.
Okay, and to learn more about it?
You would go to my website, steveberry.org. It has things about that book, all the other books, History Matters, the USO tour that I did last year, all kinds of stuff. It's all there on the website, plus the tour schedule, so that if we come in your area, please come by and say hello.
All right. Thanks so much for joining us today. I loved the book. It was intriguing, and I've already passed it on to two different friends.
Thank you so much. I'm hoping that's going to be the reaction that people say, you know, I didn't know this. You know, it is pretty interesting. It's pretty nice stuff, and it's not left field either. It's got some serious basis.
All right. Thanks so much.
Thank you, ma'am.
All righty. Bye.